I should begin by saying this is a true story, and as of writing this, this happened 6 months ago in mid-November of 2017. I was working at Chick-fil-A in my hometown in New Mexico. It's only a small town, with 5,000 people at the most, but that's enough background. It all started when I was called in to cover the night shift for a new employee who had not shown up for work. This was the third shift in a row, and my manager called me. I didn't mind going in because money is money, and I knew the other fellow employees I'd been friends with for a while were working, so I thought the time would go by pretty quick. Beyond them, there were three other staff members working as well, but I didn't know them very well. They'd only started in the last few months. I hadn't really worked up the courage to interact with them just yet. I'll assign them names for this story: Alex, Luke, and Eric. My two friends are Lucy and Sam. To be clear, Alex was the manager. That night in particular, things were a little strange. We didn't see anywhere near as many customers as we usually did, but I didn't mind. Maybe the workload would be a bit lighter that way. Although the shift would be longer because of it. At around 11 o'clock, Luke and Alex walked out and went home, leaving Eric, Sam, Lucy, and myself to hold down the fort during the last hour of the night shift. Then, to our surprise, there was an influx of customers. In the span of 10 minutes, we'd served 20 customers, and it got a bit rushed. During the rush, Eric accidentally hurt himself, burning his hand on the grill. Lucy had to take him to the hospital, leaving me and Eric to finish serving the others, clean up, and close up at 12, when we were due to close. Apart from the influx of customers, everything went normally, except we were spread thin, and we had to stay behind an extra half hour to clean up after we had closed. Once we finished cleaning up, Eric left, and I closed things down for the night. I had been working there for 2 years, so I guess Sam thought he could trust me to do it. Anyway, I locked the door and proceeded to walk to my car. But before I could even get to my car, I felt something hit me in the back of the head. The next thing I knew, I was waking up in a lounge chair. I tried to get up, but I couldn't move at all. The only thing I could compare that to was sleep paralysis. At this point, I was beginning to panic. 1,000 things ran through my head. Who did this? Why? Why can't I move? You know, the basics when you wake up in that kind of situation. I started to try and yell for help, but all that came out was an unintelligible mumble, kind of like someone speaking when they just had a stroke. It was at that point I heard a voice.
"Good, you woke up."
My eyes darted to where the voice had come from. They were just outside of my range of vision, considering I couldn't even move my head, or any muscle for that matter. By then, I was absolutely terrified. A million questions, a million thoughts rushed through my mind. Then, the person who had been talking walked out into the open. They were big. It was Eric, standing there with a surgical face mask. His eyes looked sinister, and he had a scalpel in his hand. I started to freak out. He proceeded to say,
"Been wanting to do this for months."
Without a second thought, he took the scalpel to my arm and started to slice, and it looked as if he had done it before. The pain was unbearable, but I couldn't move, just whimper. Then, thank God, sirens and lights. It was the police. Eric stood up with the knife, unsure of what was going on, and in seconds the police had kicked the door down. In a flash, with Eric unwilling to drop his scalpel, the police shot him. Not long after, the paramedics arrived. The police had managed to stop the bleeding and had realized he had drugged me, a substance to prevent me from running and possibly bleeding out too. Perhaps he wanted me to watch him remove the flesh from my own body. I would later find out the only reason I was alive was because Lucy and Sam had returned to the store and noticed my car was still there. They proceeded to watch the security footage to find out where I went, and they saw that I'd been struck in the head by Eric. They called the cops right away. I also found out I was not his first victim. The person whose shift I had been covering was the first. He had missed his shifts because Eric had apparently killed him. Creep in my living room. From Anonymous. About 5 years ago, I was living in a small rural town in an apartment building that really had no business being where it was. It was about 3 miles out of town, down a country road with not a lot of houses on it. That being said, it was always quiet, besides the occasional drunk neighbor. It was a normal day. I'd worked third shift, so I slept when I got off work, unless I didn't have work the following night. On August 7th, a day I'll remember forever, I got off work, came home, and decided to just take a short nap because I had to run some errands that day. I woke up and got dressed and went to get in my car when I was stopped by my neighbor, Tyler. Tyler asked me what I was doing the night before. He explained he had seen me outside my apartment, messing with one of my window screens. I assured him I was at work the night before, and it was probably just some drunk idiot. I went on about my day, did what I had to do, and got back home around 8 p.m. I went inside and put my groceries away, and I decided to watch some TV. Honestly, I can say I'd forgotten about the whole thing by then. Between 11 and midnight, I decided to go to bed. I turned my TV off and walked towards the stairs. I made it about halfway up when I heard a loud bang come from the living room where I just was. I stood still for about 30 seconds or so, and that's when I decided to keep going up the stairs. Not 5 seconds after that, I heard the sound of my living room window practically exploding. Now, I'm a big guy, 6'4" and 280 pounds. That being said, I have zero tolerance for someone coming into my home. In my mind, they would take one look at me and run away. That wasn't the case. I ran down the stairs to see what was going on, and sure enough, there was a man about halfway through my window. I froze, simply because I'd heard stories 100 times like this, but now it was happening to me. He hit the floor, stood up, and we locked eyes. The only thing that came out of my mouth was, "Get the hell out of my house." He had other plans. We stood there for what felt like hours, just staring at each other. He had this paralyzing smile on his face. That's when I noticed the knife in his hand. I said out loud, "You take one step towards me, I'll kill you." He stayed still and said back, "If you were at work tonight, this wouldn't have happened." Right then, I knew this man was going to kill me, or at least try. I turned, ran up the stairs, made it to my bedroom, and slammed the door. My door doesn't lock, unfortunately, but I decided I'd be safe in here with my Smith & Wesson 45 that stays on my nightstand beside me. I dialed 911, telling the dispatcher what was going on. I can still hear her response to this day. "If your bedroom door opens before officers get to your house, you're within your legal rights to protect yourself." So now in my mind, it's game time. I thought to myself, "Open that door. I dare you. You're done." I couldn't hear anything downstairs, so I sat there in silence. About 5 minutes went by and I hear the police arrive. I opened my window and yelled out. I didn't know if he was still downstairs or not. They told me to stay put until they got to me. I threw my keys out the window so they could enter. Then I heard my front door open, and the police yelled,
"Drop the knife! Get on the ground!"
I would say another 2 minutes went by, and an officer shouted that I was good to come out. I went downstairs as they were taking him to the car. The female officer told me that when they came in my front door, he was sitting in the living room on my couch, just not doing anything. That really freaked me out. What was he doing? Why was he in my house? I now live about 40 miles away and haven't had any problems since. but this event still gives me chills. I guess all I can say is to arm yourself. You never know what might happen. In the case of this guy, it seemed he knew when I worked and thought I was gone that day. But why he just waited downstairs with a knife, I guess I don't know. Maybe he wasn't coming to rob me. Maybe he wanted to break into my house, wait for me to get off work, and stab me. Mom's Ghost Story from Anonymous. This is a story my mom told me and my siblings. My mom used to work in an office building as a janitor, along with several other employees. On this night, she agreed to work the late shift and cover for a friend. She usually worked in the mornings and was almost always done by midday. She was assigned the job of cleaning the top floor, after which she would work her way down until about halfway. Before my mom had taken that job, some of her coworkers, who had been there way before she had, told her that the eighth floor of the building was haunted by a ghost that was said to cry horribly at around 12 a.m., startled but not too fazed by it. My mom just thought it was her new coworkers trying to scare her. After all, she was new and had only been there for a couple of weeks. She'd also told me that each floor had a dial that controlled the lights, and you had to set it to a certain time, after which it would reset, and all the lights would turn off one by one. She usually took about an hour on each floor, after which she would continue on to the next. Once she had finished up on the ninth floor, she made her way down to the eighth floor. There, she set the timer for an hour and began to clean. About 55 minutes in, she told me that, all of a sudden, she heard one of the most horrific, spine-chilling screams she had ever heard in her life, coming from outside the hallways. It seemed to originate from one of the offices she was cleaning. Out of fear, she panicked, dropping all her things, and she ran for the elevator. From behind her, she could hear loud cries from a woman, something you would only imagine you'd hear in a horror film. As she desperately ran for the elevator, the lights she had set for an hour began to turn off one by one, leaving a trace of darkness behind. When she finally made it out, she made a phone call and quit the next day. I See Dead People from Anonymous. I live in a small town in Kentucky where nothing really happens. I'm a 22-year-old volunteer 911 operator, and I also have a sort of gift for seeing and hearing spirits. This happened around 4 years ago, and it's still going on today. I was working a late shift and decided to clock out a little early. I packed up my stuff and told my supervisor I was heading home. But then, one of the other volunteers came running in, telling us that a woman's car had been found abandoned, and the lady was nowhere in sight. The police went from place to place looking for this woman. Let's call her Krista. Krista had apparently been driving home on the BG, and the police say that her car must have broken down. Now, fast forward a year later, no one had seen or heard from Krista since that night she went missing. People in our town began to talk about how she must be dead, or maybe she ran away. The police did a full investigation and came up with nothing. Everyone suspected that her boyfriend, Beau, had something to do with her disappearance, but the police couldn't prove it. Now, all that happened about 4 or 5 years ago, and you're probably wondering what that has to do with me. Well, a few months back, I started to have these nightmares of a woman whose car broke down. She went to go look for help, but was abducted. Sound familiar? Well, it should, because at the time, I had no idea that Krista's car was broken down and that they believed she went to find help. I only knew that a woman's car was found on the side of the road. As time went on, the nightmares grew worse and worse. I kept having them, and each one had more and more details. The last one I had was of two men burying a body in the woods. I believed that Krista was murdered. and she's showing me where her killers buried her body. The Clown in the Elevator, from Alexis D. I now live in a big city after moving from a small town a few months ago. I attend college, and I'm working to get my bachelor's degree in criminal justice. I live with my mother and 2-year-old son in an old apartment building we just moved into. I thought the apartment building looked safe, but what happened to me about a week ago has changed my mind. I work the graveyard shift, going to work at 5:30 p.m. and usually getting off at 4 a.m. It was a couple of nights after Halloween, and my mom was at the apartment watching my son. A friend from work sometimes gives me a ride home, and he had just dropped me off. Being a young female and it being dark out in a big city is why he usually walks me to the door. I tell him thanks, then I reach for my key because the entrance doors of my apartment building are usually locked after 10 p.m., and tenants are only allowed to get in after hours. As I unlocked the door, I noticed that the knob turned, and the door was already unlocked. Funny, I thought to myself. The entrance doors to this place are never open like that. As I walked in, I decided to take the elevator. I got inside and put my key into my purse. With my head down, putting my key back, I suddenly heard someone step into the elevator with me. I lifted my head, and I got startled big time. There stood a man in a full clown outfit. The outfit was blue with white stripes going up and down. He wore huge blue clown shoes, a blue curly clown wig, along with a red nose and blue and red makeup, forming a smile. However, he did not have an actual smile on his face. His expression was nothing but a deep, blank stare. The elevator doors closed, and I say good evening to him, being the nice person I was. Suddenly, his deep blank stare turns into a sinister look at me. As the elevator starts going up, I think to myself, what in the world is he doing in this building at this hour? Was someone having a party? But birthday parties usually don't go until 5 a.m., especially if it's a kid's birthday party, where clowns would often be present. I also noticed he was carrying a bag, which I didn't notice when he first stepped into the elevator. As he looked at me with that sinister look, he bent down to get something from that bag right when the elevator stopped at the 6th floor, the floor where my apartment was. The elevator doors open up, and I start stepping out, saying, "Have a nice morning," to him. As I say this, he looks up, and the sinister look turns into an even more sinister smile. He grabs something out of his bag and stands up. What he grabbed turned out to be a huge kitchen knife. I scream then, running from the elevator down the hallway, and I kid you not, this clown man chases me with that knife. I ran as fast as I could, being chased, the man laughing like a lunatic. Finally, I make it to my room and quickly grabbed my keys, opening the door, just as he reached me with the knife. I slam the door in his face and go straight to the phone to call 911. After I call the cops, I look out the peephole in my door, and I don't see anyone out there. My mom wakes up, and I tell her what happened and why I called the cops. When they arrive, the sinister clown is nowhere to be found in the building. The cops don't think I'm lying, though, because in the building right next to ours, a man had been spotted with the same kind of clown suit. He fit my description. A few nights ago in the same neighborhood I live in, there was a murder in one of the houses. A woman was strangled to death, and a witness even said a clown was spotted in the area. Luckily, the police promised to patrol the area, and they continued to check the apartment building. So, creepy clown, please don't come near me again. Lady in the White Shorts, from M. Kintz. I live in Northwest Florida, and I work at the airport. I've been there for 20 years, primarily working the graveyard shift, is a toll booth cashier. During the night, I use a handheld computer to enter letters and numbers from license plates for lost ticket purposes. Sometimes my manager assigns me to go to the garage for inventory, and I always feel uneasy about the fourth level. One night, as I was inputting information into my handheld, I looked up and noticed a woman standing near the edge of the garage. She was wearing a short-sleeved baby blue shirt and white shorts. She didn't move or look back, and her shoulder-length black hair framed her face. I couldn't help but wonder why she was wearing shorts when it was around 42 degrees outside. Nevertheless, I shrugged it off, continuing to enter in more license plates. A few seconds later, when I glanced up again, she was gone. I didn't hear any footsteps, and the sliding door that led into the lobby by the elevator didn't make its usual squeaking sound. I immediately informed my managers and coworkers about what I'd seen, but they looked at me as if I was crazy. Since then, whenever I go to the fourth level, I make sure to check my surroundings more attentively.